your love on Jesus for a moment today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we magnify you today. Come on, all across this building, if you haven't done so today, why don't you let him hear your voice for a moment?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. What a wonderful God we serve. Why don't we give him a good hand clap of praise? Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Come on, I believe we can praise him a little bit right here. God, we give you glory today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, you've been so good to me, I can't tell it all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of you could testify with a show of a hand that God's been so good to me? Amen. Then I wonder today, when you think about the goodness of Jesus, does it still get you excited? Yeah. Well, hallelujah. I know I still get excited when I think about the things of the Lord. When I think about how good God's been to me, there's just something on the inside that just has to cry out, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I may not have everything right now. God, I may be going through something right now. But God, you've been so good to me. Woo! Hallelujah! I could have listened to them children sing all morning long. Amen. You just don't know like I know how far he's brought me. And when we begin to think of how well these young folks done, I'm just going to be very honest with you today. They did a whole lot better than I would have done. Woo! Because if you get me up and you stand me up and tell me to sing a song, even if it's a chorus, I love singing, but my goodness, I couldn't have done it. I'd have been shaking like a leaf. Amen. And you say, brother, man, you're lying. You preach. It's a whole lot different preaching than singing. Amen. How many of y'all would have been nervous this morning? We better have a real good altar call here in a minute. Some of y'all lying already. My goodness. Y'all better not ever ask me just to get up and sing a chorus or something. I'm way off beat. Y'all, my wife's a musician, and that's times we have intense fellowship. And so we don't have arguments. We have intense fellowship, you know. And so I'm thankful for the hand of God. Amen. You know, there's things that we go through that we just don't understand, but I'm thankful that God is faithful. Brother CJ, I'm thankful God's faithful. Amen. Even when we're not. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. Hallelujah. And I want to say what a high honor it is to be able to fill this pulpit for the next few moments to your pastor and the first lady. I love this great couple. I love the vision that they have for Nacogdoches. Amen. Amen. How many of you are thankful for your man of God? Woo. And equally so, the first lady of this church. We love Sister Crosswhite and we're appreciative. And to the ministry represented here today, I give you honor. And to all of our guests, I want all of our guests to hear me right now. I don't want you to be intimidated by anything. I want you to fall in love with Jesus the way you know how to respond. You respond to Jesus the way you know how. Amen. Amen. So at any point that you feel like standing up and saying, Amen, you do that. If don't be bashful about it, you respond. And I promise you, God will respond back. Amen. Amen. And to the church, don't you set on God today. It's time to wipe the sleep out of your eyes. It's time to shake off the cobwebs. And it's time to say, I am in the house of God and I intend to give God everything. Amen. How about we just have some church on a Sunday morning? We ain't got to wait till tonight to have a move of the Holy Ghost. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a liberty. Hallelujah. Amen. And in the absence of my pastor this morning, I give Brother McLean honor. I know that they are in service right now. And I always want to be able to have an ear to hear from the men of God in my life. I had one amen. Today, I hope you would allow me once again to just to deliver my heart. I want to thank the church for the hospitality of getting us a hotel room, or getting, not us, I don't have a mouse in my pocket, getting me a hotel room yesterday evening. And about 3 o'clock this morning, my phone went off, and some of y'all's going to think I'm crazy as ever. There's another evangelist that he texted me, and he said, Brother Maine, he said, I don't know where you are, Brother Maine, but exactly what you're dreaming about, preach it in the morning. I said, well, that's awkward. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. This is what I'm supposed to be dreaming. Amen? Why are you texting me so early in the morning? He said, God woke him up. And he said, you preach what you feel. And exactly what he said he felt was what I was dreaming about. So I said, okay, we'll preach on chicken scratch this morning. And so I'm going to go to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. To our guests this morning, we invite you back this evening. And please bring somebody with you. We're going to have a great time throughout today. If anybody would like to do a Bible study, I would invite you to come to the church around 3:45 today. We would love to do a Bible study with you. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, if you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost and you desire to do so, why don't you get with somebody this morning and say, hey, I would like to have a Bible study on that today. We'll have the water ready tonight, and I believe that your life can be changed forever. Amen. I'll tell you, the night before I got the Holy Ghost, I was snorting cocaine. The night before I got the Holy Ghost, my life was a wreck. But when I went down into that watery grave of baptism, I can testify that my life has never been the same. Well, Brother Maine, I've been baptized. Well, my friend, if there's been things you've been going through and you want to start over again, and maybe you don't even know how you were baptized many, many years ago, why don't you join us for a Bible study at 3:45? I hope that's okay, Elder. I've been feeling that all morning. I would love, and if any of our guests that are first language of Spanish, we ask that you join us as well for the Bible study. We'll have an interpreter if you would like to. Amen? Amen. Amen. Romans chapter number 8, a very familiar portion of Scripture. There is therefore now no condemnation. It don't say a little bit. It don't say some. It says in an absolute way, there is no, zero. There is not even a hint of it. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit, I need you to hear me, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, yes, condemned sin, yeah, in the flesh. That's why he had to go to the cross. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Before you're seated, I want to draw your attention very closely to the middle of verse number 1. To them which are in Christ Jesus. Right. Not to them that know, not to them that profess,
right.
To them that are in. There is a difference between knowing somebody, professing a relationship, and being in a relationship.
Right, right.
Because when you are in something, you possess ownership.
Right, yeah, yeah, right.
To them which are in Christ Jesus. Because when you're in a relationship with Jesus, you don't want to be like the world. When you're in a relationship with Jesus, you want more of Jesus. You don't want to just get by. You want all that relationship that you can have. In John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Amen.
In Galatians 6, brethren, I need everybody to hear me right now. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. We love that scripture, but let's finish that scripture. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. It matters how we deal with one another. It matters how we build one another up from a place where struggle has been introduced. I hope I can preach this morning. Amen. And before we go any further, I'm going to ask you to put your reading device beside you, your Bible, your phone, whatever it may be. And I'm going to ask everybody in this house right now, if you'd lift your hands in a place of repentance. And I want you to say, God, help me to receive this word with joy. Talk to Him today. I praise you today. I magnify you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you turn to somebody as you're seated and tell them you're better than me? Woo!
Hallelujah.
Some of y'all did that so begrudgingly. My goodness, you could feel a wall go up just now. When someone is convinced by something, they believe in it. When somebody is condemned by something, they feel the adverse expression of judgment. The person judging them is unfavorable. They strongly disapprove of them. They've already labeled them as no good, as an outcast. Because the judgment on somebody many times is the cover-up for things we deal with. Because we don't want anybody exposing us, so we judge others, we condemn others. Simply, if we could put it this way, Brother Charlie, somebody found you guilty without even finding out the facts. It's because of one man and one woman that would fall in the garden. Adam and Eve, they would fall in love with hearing what would please their own flesh. Sin would enter the world and condemnation would come in. And it would begin to strip humanity of the Christ-likeness and the reflection of who we are destined to be. We're not created just for ourselves. We were created by Him and for Him. We were created for relationship.
Amen.
Eve after the partaking, where they started believing that it was okay as long as they kept their place. And this is the garden. This is where God placed us. But we will listen to the wrong things. Thou shalt surely not die. And now there's a partaking of what God said. Don't partake of this. You can have everything else, but don't you mess with this. There's statues in place. And my God, church, you better thank God for guardrails. Oh, I'm going to get ahead of myself. I know I am. They saw themselves as naked. They knew without a doubt that they had sinned. That's why they would run behind that fig bush and they would begin to sew the leaves together in a place to cover their nakedness, to cover their sin. And now it's a place where they would run as fast as they could. I need every individual in this house to listen to me this morning. They would run from God because they failed. This morning I want to preach from my heart, your mind, your enemy. There's a place where you and I reflect Adam and Eve, because there isn't a person in this building that is perfect today. Every one of us, including myself, there's things, elder, that I have to work on daily. Not weekly, not when I go to church, not when I feel condemned, not when I feel conviction, every day.
Every day.
Because there is things within me, elder, that if I don't control them things, it will control me. That's why your mind has to be on the things of God. The meditation of your mind, it matters. Young folks, middle-aged folks, that's why it matters. When you're in that vehicle and you push that little power button and music starts going forward, what you entertain, my friend, is what you're going to become.
Yeah.
You say, well, a little country music won't hurt. A little R&B, a little rap won't hurt. I like the beat of it, Brother Main. It's not going to do that much damage. What you entertain, my friend, and what you allow, my friend, it becomes the anthem of your heart. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve was doing everything right until they found themselves in a forbidden place. Separation, it is a call not only to holiness but to be Christ-like. The church is not just a legalistic place made up of rules and mandates. It's a place where we fall in love with relationship. If I got to get rid of some things to get closer to Jesus, then I allow things in my life, Brother CJ, that should have never been there in the first place.
Oh, help me, Jesus.
Because our mind becomes our greatest enemy. Because our mind runs rampant, thou shalt surely not die. And at an instant, there was a decision to make. Do we listen to the mandates of God, or do we listen to the mandates of the one that can't tell the truth? And so thou shalt surely not die entered into the mind of Eve. And we say, well, Eve was the reason for the fall. No, Adam was right there beside her. I don't believe that she had to say, hey, Adam, come and taste of the fruit. It's good. I don't believe there had to be the enticing, because they were in relationship. If it's good for her, then it'll be good for me. Hallelujah. You know the most beautiful thing about that portion of scripture, it's not the failure. It's that God still showed up for the relationship.
That's the truth.
Now, before I go any further, I wonder if we can just be a transparent people today. How many of you have ever failed? Come on now, y'all get with me right now. How many of you have ever made mistakes that you knew? It didn't take a rocket scientist to tell you what you done was wrong. I'm raising my feet, I'm raising my toes, I'm raising my hands. I've made a lot of mistakes. But that has never separated me from the presence of God, because understanding that there was a place of mistake, there was a running back to him and saying, God, I need you now. There wasn't a hiding away. There wasn't a pushing and saying, how much further can I go in this before I get found out? Well, I hope I can preach right now. God still went to him, Brother Charlie. God still showed up even though there was failure. He knew there was failure. But when he walked up on the scene, when he walked into where the relationship had begun, where the relationship had developed, they weren't there. How many church services go by and you don't show up to church? How many times we're doing special events at the church and we're entertaining the things that we know are separating us from God. So we don't even entertain the thought of showing up, but we'll entertain the thought of giving ourselves to things that we know will pull us further from God. Because it feels good for the moment. The fruit felt good, but the after effect of the fruit was that of separation. God still showed up. When God shows up, God don't just show up just for the intent of just being there. He shows up for the intent of relationship. Relationship. And so, whenever I'm traveling out, if Molly and the girls, if they're not with me, the greatest thing ever that happens is when Daddy pulls into the driveway and they hear my truck and I go and I don't even get my luggage out or anything yet. And I go into the house and there's two little girls and my wife that greet me because of the place of relationship. When your walk with God becomes nothing except a duty, you fail in relationship. If I showed back up at home tonight just because I had to go home and that I didn't want to go home, there's going to be voids that I created. My mind becomes my greatest enemy. And God shows up because his mercy and his grace, it wasn't just mandated that it's portionalized. That Brother Butler, I'm going to give you a little mercy, and Brother Charlie, I'll give you a little mercy, and then he'll pour out a whole lot of mercy on somebody else. Folks, his grace is sufficient, the Bible says. His mercy is absolute. But the reality of it all is that Calvary won't be enough for some people. The cross won't be enough for some people. Because we don't want it to be enough. We don't think it's enough. Because we have went so far from God, elder, that we can't even see how we can get back to God. Our mind becomes our greatest enemy because it's not the church and it isn't the people of the church that's holding something on you. It's your own mind when you're looking in the mirror, when you lay your head on the pillow and you convince yourself that you're too far gone for God to touch. And so you run from the things of God and your mind is your greatest enemy. Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Flesh can't discern the spirit. And now we want to be spiritual beings, but we want to entertain the fleshly nature of man. And the desire that we have to be fulfilled and them desires of fulfillment and the desires of being wanted, it can warp the way that we even view God. Because God, I'm struggling with things, so why did you allow me to struggle? God, I still come to church and I can feel your presence, but I'm still struggling. Why can I feel you, but I know that I'm not right? It's because it's a tug of war, elder. And in that tug of war, Let's be real about it. The dog you feed is the dog that's going to win. If you feed the fleshly man, eventually there's not going to be the reflection of Christ. This is Bible, folks. This is not opinion of Tim Maine. And so, if you want to be Christ-like, we feed the spiritual man and we become more Christ-like. God, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. And God, is there things in me, is there things that I'm entertaining that would separate you and I? And now, they are in Christ Jesus. And it's like, my friend, can I talk to you for a minute? What's your name?
Daniel.
Cool, my name's Tim. Pleasure to meet you. Daniel, if I come to your house, you and I don't know one another. I think this is the first time we've ever met. What's your name, sis? Ma'am? Anna. Okay, I'm going to talk to Daniel and Anna for a moment, okay? Anna, we don't know each other, do we? I don't guess we've ever met. But look at this. Being in something is crucial. Because Daniel or Anna, if a stranger like Tim Maine shows up at your doorstep and I am forcefully going to make my way into the house, I don't think you're just going to sit on the couch and just say, hey, come get what you want, Bubba. Well, honestly, what would be your reaction, Daniel? He'd shoot me. Anna, what'd be your reaction? She had called the cops on me. I think the reaction, Anna, would probably be a little bit more forceful because you're going to protect what's yours, right? She'd throw the pots and pans. She'd throw knives. She'd throw the kitchen table. She'd be like, Midget, you ain't getting my stuff today. Watch out now. And so why do we so freely open the door when the devil comes knocking and say, I'm fixing to rob you of everything. I'm fixing to rob you of your passion. I'm fixing to rob you of your joy. I'm fixing to rob you of your relationship. And watch, we freely open the door. Well, come on in, have your way, wreak havoc, and then we'll blame God for not protecting us. And so at that aspect, your mind is your greatest enemy, because when you start listening to the voice of the enemy, there is no reflection of the Spirit. You entertain the things of the flesh, and when you entertain the things of the flesh, it does not get back by the things of God.
That's right.
It is the enemy against him.
Yes.
Because our mind becomes our greatest enemy. I can believe in you, but until you believe in yourself, you'll never achieve what you believe in.
Amen.
Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost talking right now. Condemnation is trying its best to get people to quit. I don't care if you sinned last year. I don't care if you sinned last week or yesterday or this morning, Charlie. It matters what we do right now. He showed up.
Yes.
He showed up for me. He showed up for you. But my friend, I can't make you go to heaven. I can't make you develop a relationship. I can't make you get into that place of being desirous. God, that I may decrease it, you can increase. I'm satisfied. Brother Maine, I'm satisfied with where I'm at. Yeah, I'm not where I need to be, but I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I keep feeling that so strong this morning. Would you lift your hands with me in this house, please? Come on, you ain't got to hear me right now. I need everybody to lift your hands, and I want you to lift your voice. I felt. I'm telling you, if there is ever a time where we need to submit ourselves honestly and purely before the things of God, it's where God walked back into the garden and said, Adam and Eve, I already know the fault. Adam and Eve, I already know the sin. Adam and Eve, I already know the decision you've already made. And so, in that, he walked into the garden, sis, and he didn't see the one he loved. Adam! Eve! Where are you at? Why have you not met me? Head hung down. Stepping from behind the fig trees. He came looking for them. Just like he has come looking for you and I on a Sunday morning. His love still releases me from condemnation. His love can still conquer the shame in my life. My God is still the God of grace, and he can step in the middle of my mess and he can turn it into a masterpiece. God's not going to give up on you.
Hallelujah.
But when you start thinking I'm too far gone,
thank you, Jesus.
That's whenever you make the decision that God, I'm not enough. And your mind has become your greatest enemy. Let this mind that is in you be that which is also in Christ Jesus. The reason why a lot of people come to the church, the reason why a lot of people come and sit on a pew, and they'll get a touch every now and then. But the big reason why people don't receive the Holy Ghost, the big reason why people aren't praying through like we know we should, is because we're living a life of condemnation.
Right.
And we're not living with the fact that God is still well able to forgive. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 11, and I feel to close right now. And such were some of you. I rejoice in the fact that it's past tense. And such were some of you. But you've been washed. You're sanctified. You are justified in the name. Of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. My friend, when you get so convinced that God loves you, there ain't a thing, Brother CJ, that can keep you from getting to God. Brother Main, you don't know my past. Brother Main, you don't know what I've done. Brother Main, you don't know how far I am right now. I'm wearing a beautiful outfit, Brother Main, but on the inside, my life is a wreck. All I can say is praise God that you're in the midst of a living God. Because I'm thankful to know that my relationship with God, it isn't fiction. In fact, you can't tell Brother Main otherwise. My God's delivered me from addiction. My God's healed my body. My God's provided for my family time and time again. My God's blessed me beyond belief. So you've come too late to tell me that God can't reach into brokenness and cause there to be healing, and God can't cause there to be a place of newness. He's not standing up here just condemning you. He can forgive you. He's not just going to throw you away. He's going to restore you. He's not just going to cut you off and say you've gone too far. He's going to say, come unto me. Let me put my burden on you. He's not just going to quit listening. He's going to call. He's going to listen and he's going to call my name.
Yes.
We When there's condemnation, he can give me redemption. He can give me restoration. He gives me grace sufficient. And because that grace is sufficient, I am convinced that he loves me. I am convinced that I am his and he is mine. Just like going to Anna's house, going to Daniel's house, they have possessed ownership because they're going to protect what they have worked so hard for. The enemy so quickly comes in. Thank God for the rain. I feel the rain in this house this morning too. So God restores my soul. And God creates there a newness therein. Until I lay my head on the pillow and I convince myself I'm never enough. And so that I'm never enough for God. I never possess, Daniel, what God desires me to have. What if today, Anna, God put a call on your life to be the greatest soul winner Nacogdoches has ever seen? But Brother Maine, you don't know what's happened. Brother Maine, you don't know this. You don't know that. When we stop allowing excuses to exempt us from selling out to God, that's the place where newness begins. But Brother Maine, you just don't understand. Folks, how old are you? If God can use an 84-year-old to put shame on some of y'all in worship, don't tell me why God can't use you. Y'all, I felt such conviction. And Daniel, what if God mended things and said, you know what, I'm putting a call on him. And we possess ownership of the call. There ain't a person in your family that's disappointed you, that can convince you. Oh, you're trying again. Watch, he's going to fail again. Nobody can convince you of that when you have your mind made up. Today is the day I change forever. Because if our mind is our enemy, we're going to listen to the mindset. Daniel, I don't know why I keep failing to tell you this. I got people in my family, buddy, if they walk through them back doors today, they'd say, you a hypocrite to me. You know what I would say back? Well, praise God. I'm thankful that there's still hypocrites in the church. And you say, why in the world you say that? Because I need more of Jesus every day. I'm not perfect. I'm trying, though. I'm close. Why are you laughing like that? I was just looking at her. She looked like she was boxing. But when your mind can't get in sync with what your vision is, your mind is your greatest enemy. It's not God's fault. Y'all ready for this? Y'all ready? I'm going to say something that might blow your socks off. And the devil ain't your enemy. It's your own ridiculous thinking. God don't love me no more. I'm going through the hardest trial of my life. I'm going through so much. Well, you keep that ho-hum attitude, you'll never find the joy of God. You keep acting like that. Then how in the world can you restore such a one if you're not spiritual? But we want to show up to church. We want to act better than everybody. Your mind is your greatest enemy when you think your holiness is way better than somebody else's holiness. Okay, here we go. I'm just going to put, Brother Chad, I'm just going to put the metal to the pedal, or I'm going to put the pedal to the metal, however you say the term. When your level of holiness causes you to judge other people in the church, you've missed it. You missed it. It ain't about living for God. It's about what you can get by with.
Right. Amen.
I'm so jealous right now. I got a little 1-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I keep coming over here and seeing this precious little baby. Praise God. You know God can use you in a powerful way. Would y'all all lift your hands real quick with me? Come on, talk to him for a minute. Lift your voice as loud as you can. If you're bodily able, why don't you stand in this house this morning? Oh, I want to be spiritual, but I don't want to sell out, Pastor. I want to be somebody that can see Jesus in me, but I don't want the requirement of relationship. I hope today we can everybody. That you can get the mindset that I don't just want a benefit serving God. I want a relationship with him. Because your mind becomes your greatest enemy when you just look at him as the provider and not the deliverer. Because if he is never the deliverer, he can never be the savior. And if he can never be the Savior, he just becomes some fable in your mind that your mind has created a false narrative about. Good things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people. Well, my friend, the way you handle everything matters.
That's it. That's right.
Yep. Everything. We're all adults in this building right now, so I'm going to say this. Your faithfulness to the things of God, whether you want to believe it or not, it's scriptural, is a heaven or hell subject. Exactly. When we're knocking on that door, our mind convinces us it's not a necessary thing to have relationship because I serve a just God. Mm. Folks, that should scare the mess out of everybody in this house. If there was ever anything that should drive you to a place of true repentance, it's the fact that we serve a just God.
Yes, sir.
We don't serve a God that's just passing out candy. We serve a God that knows the intent and the thought. And he is a just God. And he judges righteously. Woo! If there is anything, Brother Charlie, that should scare us enough to live right, it is to institute the fear of God. Not the fear, oh God, here we go. Not the fear of judgment, but the fear of God. There's a difference. Brother Maine, we serve a just God. You're exactly right, we do. And I hope that I have found a place of submitting my heart to him and submitting my life to him, because on that day, I don't believe we serve a God that's just going to lie. Lord, let me in. He's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, if you have not been faith. And then our response comes back so violent. But God, I had family members come in for vacation. We had revival at that time. Yeah. You could have invited them or given them a peanut butter sandwich and said, I'll see you when we go. Brother Maine, you're being rude. No, I'm not. What if today Anna, what if today, Brother Butler, is the day that we make up our mind that God, I'm no longer going to let my mind drive me away from you. But today, I want to develop, Brother Colton, a fear for God and a reverence for the things of God again. Last night, laying in that hotel room, I was dreaming. And this is where I want to get to right now. And I know you're standing. Elder, I was dreaming. But I was standing at a big door. And at that big door, I look down and there's bags everywhere. And I was holding the bags. And I was looking at the door. I couldn't even knock on the door. And automatically I started thinking to myself, I've missed heaven. I've went too far. God really didn't love me. He let me go through things. This is what I was dreaming about. I carried so much that I couldn't even knock to present myself. What in the world are we carrying so much that all the baggage, Brother Charlie, is the decision maker between my relationship with him or my relationship without him? I have become so busy that I am barren to the things of God, and my mind is okay being there. And I missed heaven. My phone dinged at that point when I realized that I couldn't even present myself to God. A text message said, preach what you've dreamed about. That evangelist message. And he said, it's time to get rid of the things that bind your hands. There is not a person in this building, young to old, right now, that you are exempt from God touching today. If you've never had the Holy Ghost, God can fill you with the Holy Ghost. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, and there is newness of life, today is the day that you can be baptized and start over. Start a new thing. But under the sound of my voice, if every eye would be closed. Some of you right now, under the sound of my voice, you're dealing with condemnation and guilt in your life so strong. It's the shame of your mistakes. It's a driving place that's keeping you from God. It's time to let go of the past. It's time just to run to an altar and say, God, I submit to you. Guest and saint of light, I wonder if you could move from where you are today and say, God, I am no longer going to allow my mind to dictate my relationship with you. But God, my mind I crucified to give you. To every guest, I am asking you to please come. Please pray. Please don't worry about nobody else. This is not a place of judgment. This is a place where we can say, God, I need you today.
You thought I was worth saving.
Come on, church. Come on,
so
guests.
You came and changed my life.
You thought I was worth keeping.
So you cleaned me up inside.
You thought I was to die for.
So you sacrificed
Come on, church.
Your life.
so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life, so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. Because I am free, because I am whole, and I will tell.